Howdy, as mentioned, we're 42 days out, ladies and gents. General election is coming fast and furious. One of the individuals vying for a senatorial spot in the state is a man by the name of Steve Rhodes. You know him well from the Nassau County Legislature. And looking to make the old switch and nice enough to give us a couple of minutes on a busy morning. Without question, Steve, great to have you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Jay. Thanks so much for the opportunity. It's always good to be with you. How have you been?
It is a pleasure. I'm doing fantastic. Tell me about the Rhodes mindset as far as wanting to make a difference, as far as the state is concerned, my friend. Go ahead.
I mean, the bottom line is that we see everything from inflation to taxes, certainly to crime, skyrocketing. You know, and unfortunately, we have a majority in the state Senate, a majority in the state assembly, and a governor who seems not to be concerned about any of it. And many of these problems have been self-inflicted simply by the exercise of bad judgment. And you know, somebody has to go up to Albany and fight for our community. I'm hoping to be that person in the state Senate and hopefully be a voice for balance and for common sense.
Steve, you're running in the 5th, is it, my friend?
I am. I'm in the 5th Senatorial District. That's exclusively in Nassau County. It covers Seaford, Wausau, Belmore, Merrick, North Belmore, North Merrick, East Meadow, Salisbury, Levittown, Farmingdale, Bethpage, Plainview, Old Bethpage, and Hicksville.
And, you know, we had your opponent on. We had a fellow by the name of John Brooks on, who, by the way, is making the switch from the 8th to the 5th. With restructuring and everything else going on in these districts right now. But, you know, one of the big topics that we asked Senator Brooks on, Steve, and I know you heard it, was, you know, the category of crime and bail reform and everything else. And I think a lot of people kind of have to answer to the fact that, you know what, we've got a situation out there. The system is not working, and somehow, some way, we've got to fix it. What do you think of that?
Well, I did have an opportunity to hear the interview, and I was, quite frankly, a little surprised. The explanation that was given was essentially that, hey, I knew this was going to be bad, but I voted for it anyway, figuring that we'd be able to fix it later. Well, the bottom line is you've tried to fix it later, and you can't. Because while Senator Brooks may say that he does not agree with taking away judicial discretion, the reality is the law that he voted for took away judicial discretion. The modifications that they made to the law earlier this year restored some judicial discretion, but in reality it didn't, because now a judge can't consider the dangerousness of the individual when considering bail. I mean, that's one of the primary elements why bail is set, is the individual's likelihood that if he's out on the street that there's going to be further criminal activity. And that's exactly why we're seeing the increase in crime, because there are no consequences any longer. People see that. You know, Siena College did a poll, I guess, about 2 months ago, and they asked New York City residents this basic question. Are you concerned that you or a member of your family will be the victim of a violent crime? And 76% of New York City residents responded yes. How do you run a society like that when individuals know that the police, not because they don't want to, but because the laws have been set to make them incapable of protecting the public, and that's government's number one responsibility is to protect the public? And we're seeing that here in Nassau County as well. We have a 60% increase in major crimes in Nassau County just over the course of the last year, not since bail reform started. That would be even worse, but just in the past year, year over year. And people see that. You know, anyone with a Ring app now, with a Ring camera and the app on their telephone, gets the neighborhood alerts. You know, and I know mine. I live in Belmore. You know, my alert is going off, you know, every other night with a car theft, with a catalytic converter being stolen, with a home invasion. You know, these are things that we never had to deal with. I mean, we even had a stabbing in Belmore, for God's sake. You know, we never had to deal with that before. And now all of a sudden we're seeing a dangerous spike in crime. People see it in their own neighborhoods. We see it in the paper every single day. And bail reform is the cause. And it's something that needs to be addressed. And the fact that Senator Brooks passed this bill, as did each of our Democratic state senators voted for this legislation, passed a bill thinking that, you know, I know it's bad, but somehow I think we're going to be able to fix it later. It has put us all in a dangerous position. And the question is, how much pain, how much suffering, how many lives have been disrupted or ended as a result of that decision? Because the radicals that are in charge up in Albany, Andreas Stewart Cousins, Carl Heastie in the state assembly, have made it clear that they have no intention of repealing bail reform or substantially modifying bail reform to protect the public.
Well, that's the most frightening part of it, Steve, is this, it's a denial that's going on right now. When you have a majority leader that thinks the recidivism rate is like single digits when it's double digits, high double, you know, it's 40%. You know, you listen to a guy like Jim Quinn on this show, who I kind of get a sense he knows what he's talking about, having been in the Queens DA's office for over four decades. And you listen to a Stewart Cousins who thinks the rate is like 2%. I mean, that's a problem. You know, if you're recognizing it in real time, you know, that's a major problem. But, you know, I think the biggest part of it is, you know, if, and especially if you're asked to leave a word like dangerousness out of a tweaked piece of legislation, that's a problem as well, because you're not giving a judge their discretion to consider public safety. You know, why even bother? You know, and I said there's three things that are non-negotiable here. And that is that of a judge. The other is the rapid disclosure deal, reversing the presumption on that of victim and witness info, and also slashing the rest of the new discovery requirement, at least to a level the labs and the prosecutors can manage in a timely manner. I said those three on the table are non-negotiable. And we know that is not going to take place with a setup that's in Albany right now. It's just not going to happen.
No, you're absolutely right, Jay. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, we're not going to change. And you've got, you know, Mario Matera, for example, Anthony Palumbo, you know, who represent Long Island well in the state Senate and are trying. There simply aren't enough numbers to be able to affect positive change and repeal some of these outrageous discovery laws, repeal these outrageous bail laws. You're not going to change what's coming out of Albany until you change the people that you send there and change the people who are in charge there. Because it's not just enough to send our local representatives. We want to make sure that across this state, we elect enough Republicans in the state Senate, for example, to be able to flip the majority so that we can remove Andreas Stewart Cousins as majority leader and bring sensible leadership. You know, we need to elect Lee Zeldin as our next governor so that we have a partner in the executive mansion that we can work with to protect the public.
No. Talking with Steve Rhodes, making the jump from the legislature of Nassau County into the what he hopes will be a state senatorial post in the 5th. Steve, one of the other things that accentuates a lot out there is the spending, a $220 billion budget, taxes through the roof. You wonder why people have made the jump themselves from out of the state into others. How do you corral this? How do you get everything kind of under control here? Is it just about for leadership, people around the individual at hand? Or, I mean, how do you kind of change that focus?
Well, I mean, look, over the last 2 years alone, you've had a $34 billion increase in spending at the state level. That's a 17% increase in spending in just the last 2 years. It's absurd. There is no concern given whatsoever in the state budget to the taxpayer, to the people who actually pay the bills in this state, who run businesses in this state, who live in this state, who pay the property taxes. There needs to be a focus on the burden that we place. And that's not just a state issue. That's a federal issue as well. I mean, you look at, for example, the immigration crisis that we're dealing with right now, where you've essentially have 4 million undocumented immigrants who have come into this country and have been dispersed throughout the 50 states, many of which have wound up right here in New York. It's New York taxpayers that are paying for their medical benefits, for their education, for their housing, for their public assistance. You know, we should also be advocating to the federal government that this problem that they've created through their lack of enforcement and lack of responsible leadership on immigration policy is something that they should be paying for at the federal level and should not be impacting our state taxpayers. But we should be looking at making permanent gasoline tax cuts. We should be looking at making making substantial changes to the way we fund education to lessen the burden on our property taxpayers. We should be looking at, to be perfectly honest, pushing the federal government to withdraw the SALT restriction at $10,000. That has had a tremendous impact on New York taxpayers. It may have worked for 45 other states, but for five of us, and New York being the one, our taxpayers are taking a substantial hit as a result of that. Well, you know, you now have you know, Chuck Schumer, who is the majority leader of the United States Senate, who is a vocal opponent of that. They've been in charge of the federal government now for the last 2 years. We've seen no movement in that whatsoever. We should be advocating for that change. So there are plenty of things that we can be doing to relieve the burden on taxpayers. But the first is to be more responsible with our spending. And we've been spending like drunken sailors over the course of the last 2 years, as is reflected by that 17% increase.
And the other thing a lot of people don't realize is, as far as the economy, if you look at the state's unemployment rate, which is, I think it's 4.7, if I have that right, that's higher, 1 point higher, than the national average. You look at the city, that's a stunning 6.6. So you look at the state right now, I mean, they're spending more money as this recession looms large, and you wonder what's going on here. Well, you know what? It's more taxpayer dollars. That's really what the platform is. It's investments in advancing the state's economic recovery. Hundreds of millions of dollars recovery assistance and increased support. Talking teachers, healthcare workers. Not a word. Not a word about creating a job-friendly environment that will attract businesses, Steve Rhodes, to employ people here. Not a word.
And in fact, you're making it worse. I mean, you look at congestion pricing, which is essentially a repackaged commuter tax from a decade ago. I mean, that's going to take $1 billion out of our local Nassau, Suffolk, Westchester, New Jersey economy directly from our taxpayers. You know, it can cost you up to $34.50 per trip now when this is implemented to be able to get into Manhattan south of 60th Street per trip. If you're a business, that can be up to $83 per trip. So what is that going to do to local business? If you're a contractor who has to carry your tools and you can't go on to the New York City subways or take mass transit in, if you're going into New York City for medical appointments, if you commute into the city on a regular basis and you're afraid to be able to take mass transit because you've had a 90% increase in subway crime, you now have no alternative, and you now are going to be paying as much as several thousand dollars a year extra to be for the privilege of simply going into Manhattan to be able to apply your livelihood or get medical treatment. That's $1 billion that they're pulling out of our economy for a system due to its poor leadership that does not work, that does not provide a reliable and safe service, and that literally puts people at risk, again, getting back to bail laws and the refusal to enforce the laws.
He is in a race as far as the state senatorial 5th district. I'll throw one more at you, Steve, and that's the education system. You know, parental rights, that's been an important factor in elections across this country over the past year. And, you know, I look at New York where, you know, there's a plan at least to invest an additional $2 billion plus into New York's public schools. And with that money, you'll increase teachers, bus drivers, more support staff. You know, I look at it kind of a different way. I look at it like the schools already are funded in a pretty good way, especially if you break it down per pupil. Okay, it's the highest in the country. I think it's 24,000 plus when you break it down, something like that per pupil. That's the highest in the nation. and twice the national average. And I'm trying to see, well, where has that gotten us as far as the proficiency tests are concerned? It hasn't gotten us very far, you know. And I look at this money as wasted money when we need to put it to good use when you peel back the onion a little bit here.
Absolutely. I mean, we should be holding our schools to stricter standards of performance to make sure that we're teaching kids the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic. So as opposed to, a bill, for example, that's up in Albany right now, where you want to teach hormone therapy to third graders. It's absurd. And you mentioned the issue of parental control and parental rights. I mean, the notion that if you go to speak at a school board meeting that somehow you're labeled a domestic terrorist by the FBI is absolutely absurd. Parents should always have the right to be a voice, to influence what it is that we teach our kids and the way we conduct our schools. And making sure that parents have that voice should be a primary responsibility goal in a new Senate session through legislation.
Well, that's what it is, and yet we keep seeing these ads. We keep seeing these ads that don't really offer a very positive platform as far as the incumbent is concerned. And the only issue she ever brings up against her opponent is the abortion issue. And we all know New York's laws protecting abortion rights, some of the strongest in the nation, will not change if Lee Zeldin becomes governor. And that's something that people have to kind of keep in mind here. I'll give you a final thought on that one.
Sure. I mean, look, what the Supreme Court did is simply kick the issue back to the states and reflect that the federal constitution did not provide a federal right for abortion. It simply doesn't say it in there. I mean, there's a process to amend the Constitution if that's what people want to do. You can't cut it out of whole cloth and simply insert something that didn't exist. It's kicked the issues back to the states. In New York, that issue's been decided. In New York, women's access to abortion was codified before Roe versus Wade even existed. And in fact, in New York, we go far beyond Roe versus Wade when you look at the 2019 Reproductive Health Act. So, the notion that, both the governor as well as John Brooks and other candidates are trying to make abortion an issue to scare people is simply an attempt to distract them from their disastrous record with respect to job creation, with respect to the economy, with respect to inflation, with respect to crime, and every other aspect of life here on Long Island. So, don't allow yourselves to be fooled. Abortion rights are not going to change in the state of New York if Lee Zeldin is elected governor. And we should be focusing on the issues that matter, which is the fact that we have crime spiraling out of control, that we have people who are incapable of paying their rent at the same time as putting food on the table because prices are so incredibly high. We have people having difficulty staying in their homes because of outrageous property taxes, because of incredible increases in spending at the state level. We all want the same things, which is, good schools, safe streets, and opportunities for our kids and grandkids. Those opportunities have been denied under one-party rule up in Albany. We need to change what's going on up in Albany, and the best way to effect that change is to vote Roe v. in November.
Steve, a pleasure. We'll be following your trek as you make your path towards November the 8th. I'm sure we'll talk to you again. We can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes.
Jay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it all. Steve Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, you know him well, of course, from the legislature in Nassau, of course, vying for the 5th District senatorial post. You know, one thing before we go to break, final one here.
Sure.
Transparency and accountability. I've heard that a zillion times from so-called leaders, and we don't get it. It's always a broken promise. And I say that because, you know, I look at the deadly nursing home order and the cover-up. Where are we at here? Strengthening the FOIA laws, freedom of information. You know what? Massive problem right now. We don't forget. I don't forget. Neither do 15,000 families forget either. They have a right to know. They have a right to know.
You are absolutely right, Jeff.
Yeah. Just a thought in closing. Steve Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it all.